B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Oh, I think he was doing a radio hit out in the Bay Area in Oakland, San Francisco, and was talking about the whole Antonio Brown situation and how he really felt as if, yeah, they got duped. A guy, Jerry Rice, had played for both teams, for instance, right?
Right.
For the
Raiders. I can go grab it. I don't have it handy. But Dorn Adam, I'll grab it.
Okay. All right. But he basically did say, yeah, I think we all got played here.
Yeah.
Like Jerry Rice himself, who's still connected
to
the
nicest man ever,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a guy that gets accused, the guy that gets that information, puts it out there, and is just like, yeah, I feel like we got suckered.
Yeah, all the more reason. You're getting cheated by a team that's already cheated you, if you're Roger Goodell. You have a black mark over your head, a black cloud over your head, over all of the things that Antonio Brown has been about, and now you have this rape allegation going against him. You have to separate right now. It's incumbent upon Goodell to separate his league from Antonio Brown for a little while. Mm. Somehow, some way, they just have to have a separation here because it's not a good look for anybody.
Not even a little bit. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Coming up, we'll get you a Twitter poll update. But right now, we're going to talk to Adam Schefter from ESPN, the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective is rothmanspine.com. They bring us Adam Schefter from ESPN. Good morning, Mr. Adam Schefter, sir.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Philly. Everybody all right this morning?
We're feeling good. We're feeling good today. I know, let me just start off by saying this, Adam, before we move on to the football conversation. I know that today, yeah, September 11th, is a day that is very important to you and your family. Yeah. And I just want to let you know, of all the people that were involved in the horrid day that was back in 2001, you guys are certainly in my thoughts and prayers today.
Well, I appreciate saying that, and obviously, you know, it's hardly just our family, but it's everybody that was affected by it. The whole country was affected by that. Everybody was affected by that day. It's just how much and in what ways. And, you know, my family happened to be affected by it in a hugely significant way, life-changing ways. Mm-hmm. And so our thoughts are with everybody in the entire country. It's just, the day is such a strange, surreal, somber day. It always will be. It never will change. It will always be that way. And I appreciate the sentiments. Thank you.
Absolutely. And if people want to explore further, you wrote a phenomenal book, The Man I Never Met, and you have that actually pinned on your Twitter account, which is obviously very popular. Yeah. And people can look at that and get more information there. And again, thoughts and prayers to everybody in your family, my man. There's very welcome. Well deserved. But the story that has come out over the last 24 hours, go figure, is about Antonio Brown for totally different reasons. Adam, in this story that's also out on ESPN, and I know people have been talking about it, what is your reaction to the story coming out?
You know, first of all, ESPN did not make an announcement on Sunday, nor should it have. Mm-hmm. But it changed my title on Sunday from NFL Insider to Senior NFL Insider, which makes Mort a very senior insider. but what they should have changed my title to was Antonio Brown Report. Like, it's become a full-time beat. It's like the other teams don't matter.
Right.
Nothing else in the league exists. And this guy has completely hijacked the NFL's 100th season. Who would have thought that? Honestly, I've never seen one player command more headlines over the course of a season. I mean, you could think of other examples, unflattering ones, that also would be in the discussion. But there's nobody that has attracted the attention quite like Antonio Brown for this long a period. And it's incredible how it just keeps going on. And every time you think that it's going to be behind us, like, okay, he signs with New England Saturday. You think a level of normalcy has returned. He has not posted on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anything since he signed with New England. He's clearly conforming to the Patriot way. And then, lo and behold, his former trainer, his friend, files a civil lawsuit in the state of Florida yesterday alleging that Antonio Brown sexually assaulted her on three separate incidents three separate occasions in 2016 and 17. Now, again, there are a lot of questions that come up when this happens. And I can clear up some, but not others. Number one, I think Antonio Brown did know this was coming because he was communicating with people about this woman. I have the text messages from the weekend when I was told about it, but I never expected it to be turned into a lawsuit. I don't think the Patriots knew about it when they signed Antonio Brown. And so they are trying to figure out how to best handle that situation now. And I think that the Patriots have basically turned it over to the NFL and basically said to the NFL, you take this and we'll figure out what to do from there. And so that's what's going on there for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that develops.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, any reason to believe or maybe even rule out? Do you think that Antonio Brown will wind up on the exempt list?
It's a very good question. It was brought up to me last night. Somebody said that would be a logical course of action for the commissioner to take this particular instance. Another person told me it was premature to say that at this particular point in time. I think it could happen. I don't know that the league is discussed. I think, like I said, the Patriots have basically handed it off to the NFL and said, you handle. And one way for the league to handle it until it has more information and more in its investigation would be to say, we're placing him on the commissioner exempt list. But again, we'll see whether or not the league goes ahead and does something like that. I don't know whether it be today or in the coming days or what. I think we're a little bit in uncertain territory. The guy's supposed to be out there for his first practice today. By all indications, I think he's still going to be out there unless something changes. And if he's out there today for practice, my guess would be that he's out there Sunday playing against the Dolphins, but I don't even know that that's a sure thing because, as we've seen time and time again with Antonio Brown, the circumstances and situation change very quickly and new facts continue to emerge surrounding him.
Now, the other thing with Antonio Brown, though, is really more so with the NFL, and we've talked about this before, trying to get out of the investigating business. So is this something that just, I guess it would be exempt list while he gets a value or while he's investigated, or is this something that you think they'll allow him to at least, I don't know, stay in the league during the process?
Well, again, these are the decisions that the NFL is. I don't know what they're going to decide.
Okay.
It happened last night. You know, the Patriots are having meetings, discussions. I'm sure the NFL is. I texted the league. The league has not responded to me yet from last night. So obviously the league is trying to figure out what to do. And again, I think this brings up the point that has been brought up before and should be brought up again. You know, somehow the league has allowed itself to get into this situation where all of a sudden it's in charge of investigations. And the National Football League has become the National Investigations League. Now, I don't know why and when that's happened, but, you know, when the NFL is sitting down to do the next round of CBA talks, to me, the NFL should not be in this business. It should be police business, legal business. And in this particular case, this woman never even went to police. Never went to police, filed a civil lawsuit. So, again, I think people have some questions about how that happened and why that happened.
Shefty, I'm of the feeling that the NFL as an organization needs to just now, and maybe it's for the best for Antonio Brown also, to separate themselves. Maybe the exempt list is the only way they can do that. But how do you feel about that? That maybe Antonio Brown, as a person, with all of these things that have happened over the last few months, needs to find himself as a person, take away the football. The organization of football needs to take themselves away from him. Roger Goodell needs to do that. Is the exempt list the only way to do that? And do you think they should?
Well, but okay, if it is the exempt list, right? Like, okay, so let's just say he's on the exempt list. I'm making this up for 2 weeks. What's going to change? So what's going to change in 2 weeks? What's different?
Like, what? How long can they, real quick, how long can they do the exempt list for?
Whatever they can do for the season if they want.
Well, that's where I'm going. Like, do you think, you said 2 weeks, what's that going to do? Does a whole season maybe do something? Does it help make Antonio Brown see the error of his ways or get him whole again and get the NFL rid of this black mark that's hanging over their head?
You know, Bob, I think you're coming up with just a blanket solution to something that we just don't have enough information on.
Okay.
Like, how do we know that by banishing him for the season or a month, that's going to do anything to change the way he thinks or operates. And by the way, does he even need to change the way he needs to think and operate? How do we know that? I mean, we're watching this, and I think everybody's got concerns about him and is disturbed, and you say this is not the way a regular person acts, certainly. But, I mean, I don't know, you know, does taking 2 weeks off, a month off, does that change the way this guy thinks and operates? I have no idea. You know, does that solve it? I have no idea. Is that the solution? I don't know.
Adam, we're speaking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Last thing for you regarding Antonio Brown, and even before this, these allegations came out, this civil suit came out, are you in the school at all that there's a conspiracy here where he was finagling his way out of Pittsburgh through Oakland just to get to New England?
No, I mean, that is completely paranoid and ridiculous conspiracy. But let me say this. Did he want to go to New England last March?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Did New England want him? Yes. Did they plan this whole thing where, okay, you know, we'll have the Raiders trade for you, and you act, and you go burn your feet in a cryotherapy chamber, and then find a helmet that doesn't fit and complain about that, and then arrive in training camp in a hot air balloon? Like, no. No. Okay? He went to Oakland to go to Oakland, separate from New England, and it didn't work out. It didn't come close to working out. Now, do I believe at some point in the last week or two that he had the idea, you know what, maybe I could wind up in New England? I'm sure he did, okay? I'm sure that idea occurred to him, and I think his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, knew of the Patriots' interest before and probably assumed that maybe they would be interested again. And so, you know, at some point later this summer, I'm sure the idea dawned on Drew and Antonio that maybe he could wind up back in New England. But no, I don't think that this plan was hatched, that he's going to go to Oakland so he can make his way back to New England. I don't think that.
Adam Schefter, always great talking to you again. Thoughts and prayers with you and your family on today. And we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate having me. Have a great day. We'll talk next week.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Schefter.
Adam Schefter, ladies and gentlemen, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear again from Jerry Rice. We got the audio for you. You just heard Adam Schefter on it. Jerry Rice does feel like he got duped by Antonio Brown to talk about the conspiracy theory of last week, him orchestrating the whole thing to go to New England by way of Oakland. 610-632-0975. Sam, you have an update for us on our Twitter poll?
Yeah, this morning we asked, who do you have a shorter fuse with, Gabe Kapler or Jim Schwartz? We have just under 1,700 votes so far. And it's the same as last time. 74% still say Gabe Kapler.
I thought Gabe would be running away. Because, you know, at least Jim Schwartz has a fallback of a Super Bowl ring. Gabe Kapler, not so much. 610-632-0975. That was brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on any style window, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. We hear from Jerry Rice coming up in a minute here. We have some audio we're going to play for you from Jerry Rice. Top of the hour, 9 o'clock, Hugh Lamont. Bullet wound Douglas III.
That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful. That's a family name. We'll talk to him from Atlanta, 92.9 The Game. Time for Fanatic 8:13.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Schefty does not think there's any conspiracy theory with Antonio Brown going from the Steelers to the Patriots by way of Oakland.
Yeah, totally. Nope. Rosenhaus and Belichick are totally not sharks in the water at all.
I will say, I will concede the point to Adam Schefter. He tends to know a person or two in the NFL.
Okay. Drew is an awesome agent.
Yeah, I bet. If you're a player, that's who you want.
Yeah.
You're telling me Belichick wasn't pulling some strings. Get the hell out of here.
Maybe Adam is part of the conspiracy.
Ooh.
maybe he's a double agent. Next week, don't miss Adam Schefter at Wednesday at 8 o'clock. We're going to nail his ass to the wall. We'll get all the fine details on that. 610-632-0975. Somebody who does think there's a bit of a conspiracy, Jerry Rice. Pretty good receiver. He was on radio, I believe this was. Was this in the Bay Area radio station?
Yeah.
Do a little call-in hit. Jerry Rice talked about Antonio Brown and a conspiracy theory, the conspiracy theory about him going to the Patriots.
Talking about running the hill. Antonio Brown's gone. Tell me kind of your thought process of what went wrong, what happened, and now his new home.
Hey, Lo, we all got played, man. We did. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you because this guy, you know, he contacted me and he told me that he wanted to, you know, play ball here in the Bay Area. He wanted to be part of the San Francisco 49ers. So I bought into it, you know, because I can only take a man at his word and stuff like that. But I think it was pretty much already planned. He had to take a different, direction. First of all, I think when he asked to be released from the Steelers, he wanted to go to the Patriots. He wanted them to trade him to the Patriots. And it was no way that the Steelers would trade him to a rival. So he had to go a different route. And he decided to come through the Bay Area.
And that was the conspiracy theory last week. Jerry Rice right there kind of buys into it. Yep. Adam Schefter does not. I do buy into it.
I buy into it.
I mean, not for nothing. It's too good of a coincidence.
Like, I don't
too
think
much
he,
of a coincidence.
I don't think he's exactly been planning that exact move since March. But once he realized that, like, hey, maybe Oakland sucks, and hey, maybe I can Anthony Davis my way out of here.
Mm. Yeah, and what was it about the social media advisor also?
He hired a social media advisor basically to help him get his release.
Conspiracy theories are fun. But unfortunately,
Joe Banner buys it,
which, and if there's anyone that could sniff out a conspiracy, I do believe, or excuse me, sniff out a coup.
Yeah.
I guess I think it would be Joe Banner.
And he's a, you know, black and white X and O man. He's not one, you know, like he's as rational as it gets when it comes to stuff like that.
Like when everything hit the fan with Howie Roseman and that alleged power struggle, even with Andy Reid. It seemed like it was within a year that Joe Banner was like, all right, peace, I'm going to Cleveland. Like, I'm out. I'll get another job. And he only lasted, a year or two in Cleveland?
I think before
2 years before they just completely overhauled everything.
Yeah.
And they've done that about 7 times since he's been there.
But this is the year for the Browns.
Man, is it Baker Mayfield. Hey, he's better than that Carson Wentz character. You just wait, said Madden. But it's a wild thing. Now, that was yesterday's news kind of thing when it comes to Antonio Brown because of the news that came out yesterday regarding him being involved or being named in a civil suit with rape allegations, sexual assault, sexual misconduct, and emails coming out that he supposedly sent the woman that is making the accusation, who's a former trainer of his, somebody he has known since college, and he says through his lawyer that there was a consensual partnership, personal relationship. Any sexual interaction with Mr. Brown was entirely consensual. The woman's claiming that Antonio Brown near her was pleasuring himself, that he was conducting himself in an inappropriate manner, and that these happened in, I believe, 3 of his homes. One of his homes in the Pittsburgh area, and then 1 or 2 of his homes in the Miami area as well. So she's filing the civil suit in the state of Florida, the Southern District of Florida, to be exact. It was filed just yesterday. We went over some of the details of those emails earlier, and they're inappropriate, obviously. And if you tried reading them, more power to you, because we're still trying to make sense of them. I think it was, who was it, Jamie Field Yates?
Yeah, said this might be more an indictment on the Western Michigan education program than anything else.
It's a very inappropriate, that you can break it down pretty much. I know, Trey, you have a way of understanding this. You found a dictionary, a translating device.
Oh, yes. There is a translation that was posted as well.
But not to be lost in translation, if all these allegations are true, then Antonio Brown is going to be out of football for a while.
And his team did file a counter extortion, lawsuit against her immediately.
His personal team,
yes,
not the Patriots.
No, not the Patriots. Yeah, the AB team. And so we'll see.
Adam Schefter did say, not that he was questioning the validity of anything, but did bring up the fact that it wasn't like police were called in any of these situations. This is a civil suit.
That's fairly common, though, in these types of rape cases, because there's a lot of shame and guilt, and, mm-hmm. you know, people don't go to the authorities all the time.
And sometimes it comes up when it's when some people would say that it, oh, well, it's convenient now, but why wait till now? And I know that question comes up a lot, and I know there's questions, and I've talked to police just legally as a police officer, as someone investigating, you have to ask questions like that. But it rarely means anything. Because, like you said, Jamie, like I remember the instance with Nelson Aguilar that happened at the Gentleman's Club in South Philly. Mm. Oh, why was there a day wait? Well, yeah, the person's processing a
yeah,
lot.
Your head
you
is
just
scrambled.
Assaulted.
Yeah.
It's not like you're thinking clearly.
No, and, you know, it takes a lot of courage to come out, you know. And look, if she's filed false claims, then she's probably going to face some jail time herself. But we'll learn in time. But just because she didn't file it criminally doesn't mean anything to me.
I understand.
Yeah.
It's just a question that has
yep.
to be asked.
Yeah, but, yeah. So, well, I mean, the timing of it does kind of raise that question. I understand that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And the investigation process is more mm-hmm. what I'm talking about, not my own personal opinion, but that's kind of how the things fall into place.
Yeah.
But looking at all the emails, looking at the stories that have come out, whether it be TMZ, the LA Times, the New York Times, or even on ESPN, it does not look very good for Antonio Brown. And the guy that we can look at as a prima donna NFL wide receiver, a guy that we can look at as maybe a guy that manipulated his own situation to get in the best possible scenario for himself. Well, all that's football. All that's business. We're talking about somebody that could be a despicable human being as well. That's not anything
that you
want to talk about.
He hasn't had a very good run of it lately. Let's put it that way.
He did have a major win. I mean, he did end up with the Patriots. Essentially, got a better job.
Yeah.
Still $15
million. Yeah.
But this is something a little bit more important than anything on a football field, obviously. Mike and Delco, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great show.
Thanks, man.
I'm just really, really pissed off at this Antonio Brown clown, and I can't believe that you had Adam on it. Oh, thinks this is all coincidence and whatever.
The conspiracy for him to end up in L. Hey, that's how he feels, and Adam certainly has the good sources.
You know, hold on. Hold on a minute.
Everything all right, Mike? Are you all right?
Hold on a minute. Just hold on, Mark.
Mike, I'll get back to you. All right, let's get to Jeff in West Hampton. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Antonio Brown thing, I think the conspiracy theory thing, that might be all, like, great for everybody to talk about, but could it just be as simple as he didn't want to give the Steelers the satisfaction of sending him off to a bad team and that he wasn't going to play for them no matter what, so he was just going to get his way and get to where he wanted to be and say, screw the Steelers?
I mean, that's part of the conspiracy theory, but... I think the guy just
big of conspiracy, you know. Hey, I'm not going to do this. You know, I don't.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that no matter who he went to from the Steelers, he was going to say to hell with you guys? I'll find my own way out.
They were going to ship him to a bad team. They weren't going to give him the satisfaction of trading him to a good team and let him be on a contender. So that was part of them saying, "Hey, you know what? You don't want to be here. Fine, we're going to put you in purgatory." And he's like, "I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to get my way."
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible that would go into it. That would go into the theory that's out there, the speculation that's out there.
Yep. I mean, that's all I got.
No, okay. No, I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, to hell with you. We're not going to have you on our team anymore. We're going to send you to, like he put it, purgatory. And he was like, yeah, okay, go ahead. I'll find a way out. Like, I think that's how it would... Like, no matter what, I believe Antonio Brown. We all know the fact is he wanted to be with the Patriots where he is now. Anything that happened up until then, I do believe, was a calculated effort to try to get there. Was there a blueprint that they were going to follow? No. But as opportunities arose, then he was going to try to do whatever it took to get to New England.
Well, he must be a hell of an actor, though. Because watching Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
I really did. I, despite all the stuff that was going on and during that time, it was the feet and the helmet. I kind of came away like, okay, he seems like a pretty okay dude, you know, telling Gruden he wants to play and working as hard as he was trying to with those feet looking the way they were, trying to get back. I was thinking, okay, maybe he's all right. You know, maybe he'll be all right. And then for all this to go down, and it looks like he had planned it, maybe, he's a really good actor because he totally fooled Gruden. You saw the way he interacted with teammates. I mean, they generally liked him, and they got to see him more than anybody else. So I don't know. It seems like he might be a mixed up individual.
Well, think of the stuff he chose to bitch about, like the helmet. Like that was already said and done, And then he brought it up again.
Right.
They ruled against it. And then he brought it up again.
Yeah.
I mean, the foot issue with the frostbite. I mean, all the issues that were on him. The name calling with his boss, essentially. Like, all that seems too perfect.
Yeah.
To just all of a sudden magically wind up where you wanted to go anyway. To me, it's a little curious, to say the least. Mike's back with us. Mike Delco, what's up, man?
Hey, I apologize.
All good, brother.
I'm sorry. It was an accident.
Oh, sorry.
I was really pissed off about this whole thing. I think you guys, you know, are talking it right, where there's no way this all was a coincidence. And I'm not a Raider or a Steeler fan. I just hate this guy. I think he's a black mark on the NFL. And I think the Patriots were involved. This is, you know, how many times does this shenanigans happen with the Patriots? And I think that he should be suspended. And I think the Patriots should be penalized. They don't learn a lesson with things that happened before. So maybe they should not be allowed to make the playoffs this year for 1 year. So they can stop doing this.
You know what, Mike? Sure. I'm with you. Don't allow the Patriots in the playoffs. I agree with you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
No, I'm sorry. Look,
I thought he was just being facetious, but apparently he was serious.
Hey, if there's a rule that says the Patriots can't make the playoffs, I'll sign it. Where do I sign? But no, Mike's...
Is Tom Brady a Dracula? Like a vampire?
Mike, by the way, about aging process.
Yeah.
I know we touched on Drew Brees yesterday. I'd like to do a little bit more. I'd like to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, are they going through like HGH dialysis weekly or something? Like, jeez.
No. I'm talking about the decline of Drew Brees.
Oh. He didn't throw that ball past 20 yards once on Monday
night. I thought he did it one time on a first down in the fourth quarter.
It might have happened on that last drive.
Yeah, it might have been. But, yeah, because I remember they talked about that into the third quarter. Yeah. I think it was like 8 minutes left in the third quarter. Drew Brees hasn't attempted a pass over 20 yards. And I'm thinking, yeah, the arm's done.
Yeah, Tom Brady doesn't look done, though.
He'll dot eyes. He'll dot eyes with a football, you know, 10 yards.
Roethlisberger looked old and fat, and Brady's out there just bopping around looking like Brady of 15 years ago.
Brady's like, to the avocado ice cream, man.
I guess so.
That's what it is.
Was it avocado ice cream or kale ice cream?
I think it's avocado.
Oh, yeah, avocados. That's when he treats himself.
Yeah.
That's his
horrible
cheat
treat.
Day.
Yeah, it's cheat day. Avocado ice cream.
I smoked a cigar yesterday. Like, that's my cheat day. He's like eating kale and avocado.
Mm-hmm.
Life decisions. But nonetheless,
do you think he rescinded his offer to stay at for AB to stay at his house? Because I would imagine Giselle's probably like, Tommy? No.
That's going to be no. Did she call him Tomas? What would it be?
I think it's Tommy.
Would it be Tommy?
Yeah, I think it is Tommy.
That's adorable. back to our caller Mike's point. Yeah, if you don't want to allow the Patriots in the playoffs to make that an NFL rule, great. Right. But what I will say is that the NFL does need to get out of the investigation business. If you're an advisor or anybody, like an outside source to come in to talk to the Patriots about what you should do with investigations, what you should tell them is stop investigating.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing yourself any favors. We have a legal system that does it. It's their job to do it. Let them tell you who did what, and then we'll go on from there. That's a good move by the NFL.
I think the issue there, though, is that the legal process takes a long time. So what does the NFL do in the meantime?
What does everybody do?
I hear you, but it's because it's a high profile case. Like, is he just going to play the like this? This might not go to trial or deposition for a while.
Yeah, I know.
So he's just going to play every week, like everything's normal.
Yeah,
that's where it's like a. Ugh.
Yeah, but would you rather get it right?
Oh yeah, getting it right is the only important thing here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes like let's do this. The NFL needs to learn enough to realize whether or not they're going to have a moment where they go, "All right, we got to do a little bit more detective work." Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the punishment, that's where they falter. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 8:37.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up, top of the hour, 9 o'clock. Let's hear a conversation we had with Hugh Lamont Douglas III.
Senor
Bullet Wound.
Senor.
We'll get to the bottom of the bullet wound conversation with Hugh coming up at the top of the hour. Talk about the matchup, because now Hugh is down in Atlanta covering the Atlanta Falcons. Well, all things Atlanta, really, with 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Your former teammate, our current friend, and we'll talk to him about all that. But a serious note, as we mentioned with Adam Schefter at 8 o'clock, today is 9/11, September 11th. And as we all know, back on 2001, the awful things that happened on that day. And 97.5 The Fanatic, Beasley Media Station, obviously, would like to remember that right now at 8:47 with a moment of silence to honor all that perished in that attack. Thank you. God bless America, and for all that did directly were affected by that. You know, thoughts and prayers are with you. TC in Florida, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, TC?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man. Right.
Hey, man. The Antonio Brown situation. You know, this guy. We already know what he does. You know, he forced his way out of Pittsburgh. He forced his way back to the Patriots. But I just want to call out two violations on y'all guys, man. I got a violation that we talking about the Patriots, and we talking about the Steelers, and we talking about Antonio Brown. I mean, can we focus on the defensive line situation?
You want us to refocus on that? First off, I don't believe in violations, so that can go to hell. Second, we talked about that with the trench talk. Here's the thing with violations. I don't believe in calling another grown man and asking him for permission. That's just kind of how I feel about it. The other thing is that when it comes to the situation with talking about the defensive line, we got into that in depth. We're about to have Hugh Douglas on at the top of the hour. We did trench talk earlier in the show. And on that note, when it comes to a guy like Malik Jackson.
I just woke up. I see you guys every day. One more violation. I ain't heard Trey talk about the biggest boobs ever on Delilah's.
Now that I'll agree with. TC, now that I'll agree with. Thank you.
We have to get back to it.
Yeah, right. Thanks, TC.
All right,
man. Take it easy, man. Real quick, on that, on the trenches there, Malik Jackson. Just posted something earlier this morning to social media saying on Instagram, I worked hard AF. You could trans? Okay.
We know that. Always and forever.
Everybody down? I worked hard AF this offseason to come out this year to prove all my doubters and critics wrong, and I'm still one of the best. But I suffered a season-ending injury Sunday, and I'm disappointed, scared, and hurt. I promise myself, Eagles fans, I will bust my ass to get healthy physically as well as mentally for next season. Well, hear to that. How about that?
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck.
Absolutely. Yeah. That man's going to attack it. Man of that skill set coming back from an injury like that, more power to you, Malik Jackson. I want to see. That is disappointing. We'll get into that with Hugh Douglas at the top of the hour. The interesting thing is that you have a guy that was going to be dominant in the middle of that defensive line with Fletcher Cox. That was something I couldn't wait to see this year. We only got to see snippets of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, not just only in the middle of the defensive line. They were also having him rush outside as well. You had a couple packages where you had Barnett and BG. Barnett was outside, BG over the three technique. Then you had Fletcher Cox over on the other guard, and then you had Malik Jackson outside at end. So, you know, they were mixing and matching as much as possible with him. So he was one of those guys that they really were seeing being an integral part of this rush.
What's your confidence level in Timmy Jernigan that he's going to get a lot of snaps now?
Bob, please, Stud Muffin.
Stud Muffin. I think Stud Muffin is going to come fired up. Yeah. Belly going to be out, belly out, and ready to rock.
Belly out.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's a trigger for me when people just turn on the radio and think that one thing that they've heard is what we talked about all day.
I mean, he got really upset, man.
That was pretty pissed off.
He was.
It's like so condescending.
Come on, Mark.
Well, he won me back with the whole booby thing, so I guess I'm an easy win.
So, out of your heart, boobs.
What's Absolutely. But we did get into that earlier with the trenches and all that stuff. Advantage Eagles when it comes to their lines?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Especially when you're talking about who's creating pressure and who's not doing well against pass protecting. When you look at what these groups have done, I mean, again, I'm going to repeat this again. I mean, you know, Minnesota only have 48 plays of offense, man. 48 plays of offense. That's like ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how, you know what? I got to go back and look at it. What the Eagles had last week against, against Redskins.
I do know, 70.
They had 70 plays.
70 offensive plays. 39 passes, 31 runs.
So there you go. So, yeah.
How about that?
Minnesota went out there and had 48 plays.
They only threw the ball 10 times.
So you felt like, you know what? Hey, man, put your hand down. Let's go run over these guys, man. Let's get on out of here. 48 plays. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's efficient.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing how. I mean, really, I know the D. I have confidence in Fletcher Cox and Tim Jernigan, right? Mm-hmm. But it was going to be so much better by the fact that you weren't ever going to have a weakness in the interior when you have those three rotating.
Yeah.
Now Ridgeway's really got to step up. Hassan Ridgeway's really got to step up. The new acquisition they got, Akeem, whose name is escaping me right now. They got to step up and really just be more than just bodies. They have to actually have an impact. So now the challenge is going to be more so to your DNs. Mm-hmm. Because
Akeem Spence.
Thank you, Akeem Spence. When you're looking at guys in the middle of that line that were supposed to get that push without having that as consistently as you were going to have, all right, Derek Barnett, all right, Brandon Graham, like that, your job's not made any easier. Mm-hmm. So now the challenge is even more so for those guys. And then obviously it's more for a guy like Hassan Ridgeway who hasn't played that much to begin with,
He's
going to slide in there. They have. But he also hasn't taken a job. And I understand that he's got some pretty talented guys in front of him. But now it's like, all right, go get yours.
Opportunity.
Go get yours. You want to talk about next man up from a couple of years ago? Next man up.
And Trey, how do you feel about it? Because Vinny Curry and Brandon Graham can also play. Like, you know, yesterday people started going, well, does this mean Chris Long's coming back? Because Curry and Graham can play inside. Is that something you see happening?
Yeah, they can play inside, but it's only on rushdowns. They're not one of you guys that's going to be handling the inside when it's on first or short yardage games. You know, so it's going to be something where you put them down on
third
the inside,
and longs.
Third and longs, passing plays.
A Ferrari package.
Yeah. It's not something that when it's first and 10, when it's a run play or even a short yardage game play, you don't want to put your DNs down on the inside like that.
There you go. Oh, my boy Chuck in North Carolina. What's up, brother?
What's going on, everybody? Let me go out of this empty house.
Hey, your birds are 1-0. How about that?
Oh, I'm so excited. Get excited. Right now,
gotcha.
MVP of that game would have to be the offensive line.
Absolutely. I keep trying to tell him, man.
Just one second.
Get excited.
Chuck, just one second. I will say that the tide of the game changed in the third quarter when they ran that football 9 times down the skin's throat.
Mm-hmm.
And it got into the end zone.
It would have never changed without them. Carson
Absolutely.
Didn't have his feet under him, and if they didn't have that line, I watched it happen in my son's football game. That line started playing, them boys started playing really, really good, and I saw confidence on the sideline that they didn't have when they were getting roasted. I believe they were down 16-0. And all of a sudden, that line started pushing, and our little EJ started running hard, and all of a sudden, he hit 2 touchdowns, bam, bam. Because our line started playing. So, you know, hats off to the line. And, you know, Trey says they don't get enough. They don't. They really don't get enough, you know, applause. So I have to say that's what turned the tide. Anyway, my story about this whole Philadelphia hate thing and fans. And look, the one thing I tell people about Philadelphia, if you're asking for it, you're going to get it. If you wear that jersey up in the middle of a group of guys, I don't care where you're at. But if people have been drinking, it doesn't matter. Philadelphia, Dallas, Michigan, Idaho, it doesn't matter where you're at. You're always asking for it. So Mike Scott to do that, to me, is disrespectful to the Philadelphia fans to go asking for it. You could have gone in there and not asked for it, but you did. But then you ran into the wrong crowd. If you just go in, you fit in, you act like you got some sense. I saw some of the nicest people at FanFest. And I made a comment to y'all when I was there. If one more person said, excuse me, I was going to get mad because everybody was so kind. Everybody was so nice. But I'm just saying, they get such a bad rap. Y'all get such a bad rap. We get such a bad rap. And it's not like that in Philadelphia. I'm telling y'all, anybody can hear on the airwaves, Philadelphia is not hate. We do not act like that. It's a very select few that act like that. So don't give all of us that look that we are all hateful, mean Philadelphia fans, because we're not. If anything, they'll turn around and give you a hug. And that's all I got to say about it.
Thank you, Chuck. You know what is funny, Chuck? And thanks for the call. And go Birds, my friend. What is really funny is that we did kind of, like, I got that Midwest vibe at FanFest. Like, everybody was really cool.
We all became from Wisconsin.
Like, I was going to say, we're all from, like, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Brats on the grill.
And it was just like.
Lining Kugels pouring.
Excuse me. No, excuse me. Like, that kind of thing throughout the entire process.
Some pop instead of soda.
It was. All right, now let's draw the line. Okay. Let's not get crazy. But no, like, everyone was just really nice in FanFest.
It was a great, great day.
And we were bumping into people left and right.
Yeah.
It was an emotional, beautiful day is what it was. but no, I did get that vibe while we were walking around that we were at our best. Like, really? And now here's the thing. You're not going to FanFest if you're a Cowboys fan or whatever you might be. You know, what,
although
Redskins
we did
fan.
See a few jerseys. We saw a few. There was, remember, we saw a guy in a Giants jersey that came in, an Eli Manning jersey.
Yeah, I poured his drink out.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that was probably Sean Spellman. He's the Giants fan?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's Sean.
But what? I bought him another one, but yeah, I poured his drink.
You poured his drink out and bought him another one?
I had a please, good time though. I had a blast.
Please,
you know,
tell me
emotional time. You know,
yes.
Please tell me you like slow poured it in front of
and
his
like
face.
Stared at him and eye
then,
contact.
And then while you were doing it, your eye contact. You're like, I'll buy you another.
That's the Philly way.
That is. Yes. I'm just
we'll
showing
pour your drink out and make fun of you, but we'll buy you another.
I'll
one.
Buy you another.
Yeah,
that is just a beautiful thing. It was. We were like the Midwest, although, and I don't know why I'm proud of this. But a woman in Wisconsin once called me a bleeping bleep hole.
Wow.
And
what'd you do?
It was outside. I don't know. I still don't know.
Were you in Minnesota for the Super Bowl?
No, I'm sorry. Not Minnesota. Wisconsin.
Oh,
I was
okay.
in Wisconsin, and I was out there for a Packers game. It was a Sunday night game, and I was out there, and me and a guy that I worked with were leaving the stadium, and there was an open lane of traffic where there was three cars in, and then another lane of traffic where there was 20 cars in. And this car in front of me was blocking me from being able to go across the intersection to get to that other lane of traffic, the shorter one. Mm-hmm. To me, it didn't matter which way I was going as long as I just got away from the stadium.
Right.
So I went out another exit of the parking lot and got in that lane. And that person pulled out, I guess followed me, and got out of their car in Wisconsin. This woman had a yellow jacket on.
Like a hunter's jacket?
No.
Well, because they wear those a lot because it's cold out
it
there.
It wasn't bright orange.
Okay.
But she had a yellow jacket on. And out of nowhere, I hear slap on the side of the car.
Your car, hers.
My car.
Whoa.
She's on the passenger side car. My buddy's sitting in the passenger side. And she goes, I've been waiting here for 2 hours. You're just going to take this bleeping spot, you bleeping bleep hole?
Wow.
And I'm like, first off, in that accent, that's adorable. Second, I was about to apologize, but before I could even apologize for what I didn't even know I was apologizing. I figure if I made somebody that angry, I did something. And before I could even say, I'm sorry, I'm not from here, what did I do? She was just like bleeping. And I thought it was, at first, because of the yellow jacket, I thought she was a parking attendant.
Right.
And it wasn't. It was just a person behind me. And then I looked, and it was the same person that I was behind, just sitting there waiting to get out. And I was like, before I could even say anything.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.